Welcome to the weekly sermon podcast of Valley Grove Baptist Church. We are thankful you stopped by to hear from God's Word, to grow closer to Him, and to be inspired to reach your area of influence.
Let's find John chapter 15. We're going to find John chapter 15 this morning. As we continue to work through the book of John here on Sunday mornings. If you've got an outline today, if you don't have an outline, let me encourage you to get one each Sunday, as it'll help you keep track of more sentences that you use when you're trying to learn something. The better able you are to learn it. And so if you want to read along and look along and write, take some notes along, that'll help you out. But if you do have an outline this morning, I want to caution you real quick that we're not going to go in the order that is printed on the outline. And so that's not... That was a last-minute decision as I was looking over my notes this morning. So we're going to slightly look. We're going to look at the same verses. We're just going to look at them in a slightly different order than what's printed on your outline that you have in your bulletin this morning. So I just want you to be aware of that before we get started. And so we're actually going to start in verse number 4. So we're going to read 4 through 7 to begin with. Then we'll come back and look at 15, 26, and 27. And then we'll jump back forward, okay? I think thematically it fits a little bit better that way. But I want to remind you of what we've looked at so far, because it will play into effect as we get, especially get to the end of our time this morning. So 3 Sundays ago, we talked about chapter 15, verse 1, where Jesus talks about being the vine and the branches. Right? And we saw that our main idea for that morning was that we must remain connected with Him for a long period of time. To abide in Jesus, to abide in the vine, means that we need to remain established and connected with Him for a long period of time. So that, or for the purpose of, that we can produce not just fruit, but much fruit. So that we can produce much fruit. Right? So that was kind of the idea that we talked about that Sunday. Then last week, we saw that Jesus is clear that if we remain in Him for a long period of time, the system of the enemy of God, John uses the term the world system that is anti-God, will not like us because it did not like Jesus. In fact, John is even more harsh and says that that the world will hate us and will persecute us, even going to kicking people out of the synagogue and killing them, right? And what we saw that Sunday is, remember, you got to give them the shoulder. Y'all remember the shoulder? You got to give them the shoulder. Because we got to remain in our spot. We got to remain connected with the vine. Sometimes that means when the world comes at us, you know, like I didn't, well, you got to put your shoulder into it. Say, you're not moving me today, right? Because this is my spot, right? So today Jesus is going to kind of continue in this same vein. He's going to come at it from a different perspective. Because what we see in verse 4, let's go ahead and read verses 4 through 7, and we'll kind of get into it this morning. But I have said these things to you, that when their hour comes, all right, let's stop right there just briefly. Their hour means the hour of the persecutors, the hour of the haters. But I have said these things to you, that when the hour of the haters comes, you may remember that I told you the work of the Holy Spirit. I did not say these things to you from... From the beginning. Did not say these things to you from the beginning, because I was with you. But now I am going to Him who sent me. And none of you ask, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, He will send Him to you. All right, so here's the angle that Jesus is going to take. So Jesus has said, you've got to remain with me for a long period of time so that you can bear much fruit. But if you're going to do that, you need to know before you get into it, there's going to be people who are going to hate you and all that. But you've got to remain in your spot so that you can produce much fruit. So Jesus realizes this, realizes there's this dichotomy of, I'm telling you, you need to remain with me. But if you remain with me, people are going to hate you and persecute you and not going to like you. And so Jesus realized that he's put the disciples in this really tough spot, because if they want to do this, they're going to have to accept that difficulty will come. Right? So in the middle of this, Jesus says, I'm going to send this, remember this guy? We talked about him in chapter 14. So in the conversation, Jesus talks about the Holy Spirit while they're still in the upper room. And he says, remember, I've already introduced this guy to you, but he's going to come to you. He's going to come to you. His name is the Holy Spirit, or the Helper, the Paraclete, the one, remember, the Paraclete is the one who falls down beside you to pick you back up so that you continue on your journey. And so Jesus says in verses 4 through 6 that their hour, the hour of the haters, is going to come. So we don't want you to be scared about it or like you didn't know about it. But he says it is, and this is kind of weird, in verse number 7, he says it is to my advantage that I go away so that he can come. Now that, let's be honest, sounds really weird. Because Jesus is saying it is to your advantage. Remember, these are the 11 disciples he's saying this to first, who have been with him for 3 years. Judas is gone. And he says, it is to my advantage that I go away. That sounds really weird. Now, why would it be to their advantage that Jesus go away? Well, obviously, in order for Jesus to go away, we've got to have the whole Easter, you know, cross, burial, Easter Sunday, resurrection, you know, that whole scenario has to take place. So Jesus, you know, then dies for the sins of the world and is risen again in new life so that we can have hope for the future. But then Jesus has also made it abundantly clear that his going away is him going to the Father, like he's going to leave the world. And Jesus is talking about that in this passage. And so Jesus is saying, it is to your advantage that I leave the world, because if I don't, the Holy Spirit can't come. Now that sounds weird to us, but let's talk about it for a minute. Because see, Jesus, when he comes to earth, he relegates himself to be in one spot at one time in one moment. So for example, if Jesus was here with us today, he's not at any other church. So when Jesus was, let's put it in biblical times. So when Jesus was preaching on the Sermon on the Mount, which is in Galilee, probably beside the Sea of Galilee, you know where he's not? Jerusalem. And when Jesus is in Jerusalem with the 11 disciples right now at Passover, as they're probably nearing the Garden of Gethsemane, you know where he's not? Nazareth. Because see, he limited himself to be at only one place at one time in one moment with one group of people. And his reach only extended to the people who were right there in that moment. But Jesus says, if I go away, the Spirit will come. And he will basically indwell all of you. So let's put that in practical application. After Jesus dies, is buried and risen again, and days later goes back to the Father, and then, you know, days later Pentecost happens and the gospel goes everywhere, and as you read the book of Acts, and then there's this spreading out of the gospel message. Well, you know what? The disciples who are hearing this message right now, they don't all go to the same place. History tells us that Matthew probably goes to Africa and ends up sharing the gospel in Egypt and in Ethiopia. History tells us that Thomas goes east through Persia into India. And if the Holy Spirit isn't there, that means Jesus is only with one of those guys, not both of them. But Jesus says, if I go away, it's to your advantage, because the Holy Spirit can be in any of these places at one time, at the same time, helping all of us equally together. So whether you're at Walmart, or at the ball field, or at work dealing with a disgruntled customer, or in your home dealing with a disgruntled child, right? The Holy Spirit can be with all of us at the same time. So it is to their advantage, it's to our advantage, that Jesus goes away. Now, when he does that, again, he mentions this guy. He's already talked about him a little bit. He says that the Helper is going to come. Now, Jesus is going to give us five things that the Holy Spirit is going to do in us, through us, with us, around us. And we need to catch hold of those today, because these five things will help us. Remember, we've got to remain in him for a long period of time so that we can bear much fruit. But when we do, trouble is going to come from time to time. So the Holy Spirit is going to help us in that time of trouble. Now, he lists five things. The first two, or excuse me, the first one is in verse 15, chapter 15, 26 through 27. And Jesus there says that the Holy Spirit will bear witness about me, just like the disciples are. Now, we've met that word bear witness before, but it's been a while, so let me remind you what it means. The word bear witness means to provide information about a person to which the speaker has direct knowledge. So Jesus is saying, the Holy Spirit has direct knowledge of who I am and what I've done, and He's going to tell you and the world about it. We defined it on the Sunday when we talked about this at length. We defined it even a little more simply in this way. Being a witness and giving a witness testimony. The Holy Spirit has been a witness to what Jesus has done, and He's going to be an eyewitness testimony to the disciples of all that Jesus had done, is doing, and will do in the future in their life. So He's going to bear witness alongside of them. Because remember, they got to remain with Jesus for a long period of time. But let's be honest. Sometimes when we remain with Jesus a long period of time, we feel like we're the only ones out there. Given the context you might work in, given the people you might do life around because of whatever, you might feel like you're the only one. Like, I'm out here all alone. And Jesus is saying, no matter where you go, no matter where you're at, you're not alone because the Holy Spirit is with you, bearing witness, giving eyewitness testimony of what the Lord has done and is doing in your life and in the world around you. All right, that's the first thing. Now the second thing comes in verses 8 through 11. In verses 8 through 11, Jesus says that the Holy Spirit will convict. Will convict. Now, this is not something we really like to talk about a whole lot, is it? Conviction. Because conviction means to point out a wrong. Right? Anybody dying for somebody to point out their wrongs? No. Right? Come on now. No, of course not. But Jesus says when He comes, verse 8, when He comes, He will convict the world concerning three things, or around three things. Sin, righteousness, and judgment. And He defines those. Jesus defines those later on. And here's what He says. He's going to convict the world concerning sin because they do not believe in Me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father and you will see Me no longer. And concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. Now, if I were to ask you right now, what do these three things mean? You could probably fairly easily get the first two. Right? Because, for example, the Holy Spirit's going to convict the world, convict of sin. Right? That makes sense. Because they don't believe Me. And otherwise, the Holy Spirit is going to convict people of not believing in Jesus. In other words, the Holy Spirit's role is to show people, hey, you're wrong in not believing in Jesus. Well, that kind of makes sense. That's pretty easy. And the last one's pretty easy. Because it says concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. In other words, the Holy Spirit's going to say, hey, Satan, not today. Because you're already judged. You've already been shown wrong. Christ is, for us at least, Christ is dead, buried, and risen again. All for you're judged. You're inadequate. The one we're going to struggle with is that middle one, right? Concerning righteousness, because they go to the Father and you see Me no more. Now, what does He mean right there? What does that mean? That's a tough one because it kind of doesn't make a whole lot of sense at the beginning. But if we look at it more closely, it makes total sense, and it is a total help to us in life, in our lives as believers. So here's what Jesus is saying. Let's jog our memories, actually. Let's look at it this way. If we were to look back over the course of John's Gospel, we would see two truths that have been resolute from the beginning. Number one, the first one is, Jesus is righteous. Right? Jesus is righteous. Now, what do I mean by that statement? Jesus is righteous in two senses. In other words, Jesus is righteous in the sense that He shows us how to live right. In other words, He shows us how to live right with God. He shows us how to live right with God. Throughout the Gospel of John, Jesus, at every turn, in every circumstance, has shown us what it means to live right with God. Here's the second thing, though, that Jesus has shown us even now and will show us even more, is that He is the only way to be right with God. So as long as Jesus is walking on the world, what is He showing people? He's showing people, here's what it means to live right with God. In other words, if you want to know what it means to live right with God, you should look at Jesus. But then Jesus is more and more revealing that He is the only way that you can be right with God. So that's one truth. But here's the other truth that lately Jesus has said, hey, I'm going away. Hey, I'm going away. Hey, a little while and I won't be here, and y'all will look after me, you won't be able to find me. So if we put those two truths together, what does that mean? That means that when Jesus goes away, what goes away with Him? His epitomizing example of what it means to live right with God and to be right with God. And so that when Jesus goes, the physical example of what it means to live right and to be right with God goes, whoop, goes with it. And so then the world is left without a witness, without a bearing witness, eyewitness testimony of what it means to be right and to live right. And so Jesus here is saying that the Holy Spirit is going to fill that role today. So let me put it to you this way. Because this can sound all heady and metaphor, you know, philosophical and way up here. Let me tell you this way. We told kids for a long time the wrong thing. Yeah. We've told kids, Jesus lives in your heart. No, Jesus don't live in your heart. He lives in heaven at the right hand of the Father, ever making intercession for you and me. Do you know who does live in your heart? The Holy Spirit. And do you know when you do a wrong and you get that feeling inside of you that is convicting and says, hey, this is not right living with the Lord? Do you know who that is? That's the Holy Spirit doing the role Jesus defines here, because He knows what it means to live right with God and how to live right with God. And He's trying to get you and me to continue to live right with God. And when we get off the right living with God, He's like, hey, 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 you, hey, no, don't, whoa, wait a minute, stop. That's the Holy Spirit in your life and in my life. And He's not just doing that here with us. He's doing that everywhere to be the epitomizing example of what it means to be right with God and to live right with God. And if you don't experience that in your life, of the Holy Spirit going, hey, whoa, whoa, hey, stop, you might need to check yourself this morning. Because if there's no one in your life, inside, imploring you to like not do wrong, that's a problem. Right? So, the Holy Spirit bears witness and He convicts. What else does He do in the life of the believer? Jesus gives us three things. In John 12 through 15, He gives us the final three things. He says, thirdly, He will guide you into truth. He will guide you into truth. Right? In other words, the Holy Spirit will guide you to what is true and how to live by what is true. I love the word guiding here. Because you know what guiding insinuates? It's not in the actual definition of the word. But guiding insinuates that the person doing the guiding realizes that the people they are guiding are not where they are meant to be at the moment. For example, my dad, he's going fishing in a couple weeks. And they are hiring a guy. They're going to Mississippi to Grenada, Lake Grenada. Just talked about it this weekend, saw this weekend. They're going to Lake Grenada in Mississippi. It is one of the United States' best lakes for catching, what y'all call them? We call them crappie. Some people call them white perch, whatever. Crappie, all right? Not spelled with a Y, it's with I-E on the end of it, so there's no confusion, okay? So, he's going, they're hiring a guide to take him, because every year, multiple, which is huge for crappie, 3-pound, sometimes even 4-pound crappie are caught out of this one lake. And so they're going to have a guy to go show them around. Now, when they hire the guy, you know what that means? The guy realizes when they step on the boat, they may know how to fish, but they don't know how to fish for a native. So what are they paying the guy for? To show them not how to fish, but where to fish, and where not to fish, and how to fish on that lake. Right? So the guy realizes they don't know what they're doing, but I'm willing to take them to show them what to do. And that's exactly the way the Holy Spirit is. You might know how to live generally for Christ, but you may not know how to live for Christ in the season you're about to walk in. And so you need somebody to guide you through the valley of the shadow of death so that you can keep walking and you don't get stopped up in the mud puddle because of the flood that's coming. Right? So, the Holy Spirit, I love this. The Holy Spirit knows we're not where we need to be yet, but He's willing to take us to where we need to be, realizing that we're not there yet. Then, along the way, Jesus says that He will declare things that are to come. Now, when we read that, we may think, oh, He's going to tell me the future. That's not exactly what He means. He means surrounding the idea Jesus is referring specifically to what's about to happen in His life. So it's going to declare things that are to come in relation to the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. And then lastly, at the close of this passage, Jesus says that the Holy Spirit will, in all of this stuff, He will glorify me. In other words, He will bring glory to God the Father. So five things. So here's kind of the broad picture. Okay, here we go. Jesus says over here in John 15 at the beginning, hey, I'm the vine, you're the branches. Remain in me for a long period of time so that you can produce much fruit. But when you do that, know that people aren't going to like you. They're going to hate you. They're going to persecute you. And in time, this will happen in your life. But know that I sent you someone who's going to help you, who's going to guide you, who's going to convict, who's going to bear witness about me when you feel all alone. He's going to declare to you things that are to come. And all in all, He's going to glorify me and help you to glorify me. So the question we've got to ask is, we've got two questions and then we're going to wrap up. What have we learned today? So if we could draw like two quick closing ideas of what have we learned overall. Like if we could put this in a big bucket, how could we look at it from a high view? I have two ideas I think we can learn from this passage. Really from this whole like series of three sermons. And we'll look at some more kind of Jesus will continue next week, or in 2 weeks, as we finish up chapter 16 in 2 weeks. But what we've seen is that Jesus knows what we need before we know what we need. Right? And not only does He know, He's prepared for what we need even before we do we need it. So Jesus knew that in order for the disciples to bear much fruit when He was gone, what did they need to do? Remain with Him for a long period of time. But He already had the foresight that if they remained with Him, and if you and I remained with Jesus, that trouble would come. And so He's prepared for trouble to come by sending you and me and them, the 11 that He's talking to, the Holy Spirit. And so what we can learn from this is that Jesus knows what we need before we even know what we need, and He's made provision for that. Here's the second thing we learned. The Holy Spirit is fully equipped to help you in any and every situation you will ever face. Right? It's not like you're going to face a situation in life and the Holy Spirit's going to go, boy, didn't see that one coming. Not sure what to do about this. Right? So whatever it is, high moments, low moments, plateau moments, in between, life-altering situation moments, things you didn't plan for, you didn't prepare for, guess what? The Holy Spirit is fully equipped to help you continue to stay connected with Jesus, to bear much fruit, and remain with Him for a long time. He is fully prepared to help you do that. So the last question we've got to ask ourselves this morning is, what are we going to do about it? Right? What are we going to do about it? So last week, we looked at it from a football perspective. Because sometimes you just got to lean into it and throw your shoulder into the enemy and say, hey, not today. Today, I'm going to give you one closing example to illustrate what we, you and me, must do considering all we've talked about over the last 3 weeks. four springs ago. All right, four springs ago, 2020. We are in like the throes of Corona, right? 22, all of us were at home, right? We were doing church via streaming, and boy, I'm so glad we're not doing that anymore. Oh my goodness, that was work. That was work doing that. So I'm glad to see y'all lovely faces here today. But 4 years ago, summer of 2020, we had a garden, right? And emphatic that I was going to start my tomatoes and peppers from seed, because I did it in Athens. I had done it here somewhat successfully, and so this year I was determined that I was going to plant my garden from seed. Because you get better variety, you can kind of pick and choose what you want, and all that. I tried three times to get seed started. I started in January, got them up, and they all died, every one of them. Tried again later in January, they all died. The third time, bought new dirt, bought new trays, they all died again. I was distraught, and I was like, just go buy some. I'm tired of you fretting over all this. And I was like, fine, let's go to Home Depot. So I went to Home Depot. And when we plant tomatoes, we plant a variety of different types of tomatoes. And this year we planted some that in 2020, so four summers ago, we planted two types of cherry tomato. One was a cherry and one was a pear. And the most prolific tomato I think I've ever planted were some of these pear tomatoes are called yellow pears. So they're just yellow, they're little tomatoes that are somewhat shaped like a pear. I wish I had kept records of how much tomatoes these. I only had two plants. They started producing the tomatoes first, and they were the last ones to produce tomatoes. In fact, they could have still been producing tomatoes. I just got tired of picking tomatoes. Right? You just, at some point in like August, you're like, oh my gosh. Like how much they could have kept on going. And I finally just took all of them up. Well, 2021, so that's the season's over. We've made sauce out of them, we've ate them, we gave them away, and all this. Well, in 2021, I didn't really plant that much of a garden. Holly was in school getting her master's, and I was like, you know, we were all focused on doing that, and like helping her, making sure. And I was like, I don't need an adult. So I didn't really plant a ton. I just had a very small garden that year. Well, lo and behold, in like June, I walk out, and I didn't really plant any tomatoes that year. And lo and behold, what do I have in the garden? A yellow pear tomato that was straight up a volunteer. And if you've ever done tomatoes, you don't know this about tomatoes. If you haven't done tomatoes, they don't volunteer real well. Well, this year, this thing gets huge. And I was like, I'm not doing anything to it. Like, I didn't fertilize it. I didn't water it. I didn't do nothing to it. And it got huge. It was sprawled out all over the ground. Tomatoes, we ate a few of them off of, honestly, since it was on the ground, that I rotted. So we gave a ton of these tomatoes to our chickens and chalked it up as whatever, okay? Volunteer, I was amazed it came up and it did as well as it did. And so we gave the chickens the tomatoes and all that. So end of story, right? 2 years, volunteer, oh, great. So last fall, or last spring, I was cleaning out our chicken coop. And so if you have chickens, you have a lot of chicken litter, right? And so you got to do something with it. So I was like, let's put it in the garden. So I took a big pile of wheat straw and chicken litter and just dumped it by the fence in the garden. Thought nothing about it. Actually forgot about it. Left it there. Meant to throw it out. Didn't come up. Well, about June, I would go there. Guess what's under there? A tomato plant. And I'm like, oh my gosh, where did this thing come from? I was like, the chickens must have ate the tomato and then left the seed in the litter. You know, so I'm like, right, guess what it is? You're not going to believe this. It's a yellow pear. And I was like, what? I can't believe this. And so we didn't get a lot of tomatoes off of it because it was in a bad spot and we didn't water it all up. But I picked, like, just a handful of tomatoes. They were delicious as far as tomatoes go. They weren't that big. They were kind of small. But I said, hey, this thing deserves, like, this thing, we deserve some kudos here. So I saved about five, and I meant to take a picture of it, five or six tomato seeds. I just got a handful of the seeds, scraped them out, dried them out, threw them in a bag, and I thought, well, maybe they'll do something. So this spring, or this winter actually, just a couple weeks ago, about 3 weeks ago, I planted trays of seeds. They're doing well for right now. I'll pray for them. They'll die here the next 2 weeks. And I found that little bag of seeds that I had saved. And it said, yellow pear volunteer. And I was like, I got an extra row, you know, in my seed trays. What the heck? Y'all, those suckers are doing amazing. I bought some new seed, and the new seed and the volunteer seed, you couldn't, if I put the plants together, you wouldn't be able to tell what they are right now, which one was which. It's amazing. So what's the point of the story? The point of the story is the same point that we need to be doing in relation to all we've got to do, and that is we just got to keep growing. Sometimes, look at me, sometimes we're going to be planted in a good spot. And sometimes we're going to feel like we need to volunteer. And then sometimes we're going to feel like we need to cheat with it.
Yep.
Right? But in every scenario, every one of those plants that grew up from that original one, they grew where they were planted, and they continued to grow, and they continued to grow, and they continued to produce fruit. So this year, I plan on planting some of those volunteers just to see what they do. But it all goes back 4 summers ago to that plant that produced and produced and produced. And it, like, if there's ever, if that ever happens to a plant that produced much fruit, it was those 2 yellow pears. They produced and produced and produced and produced. And that's exactly what you and I are called to do. Because see, when we produce, here's kind of the end. When we produce much fruit, we'll never know how far that fruit spreads and how it reproduces in other people's lives and in other places that we had no idea that it was going to reproduce in. Plants don't know. But who would have ever thought that because I planted a plant 4 years ago that we're still getting the results of that? And it's the same way in our lives. If we'll just keep growing and keep producing and keep producing, we'll never know this side of heaven the effects of our lives in our area of influence. So what do we need to do? Keep growing, keep producing.
Thanks for listening. For more information about Valley Grove, visit our Facebook page or website, valleygrovechurch.org.